Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. What have you been doing with your so-called spare time? Well, according to the news and a few folks that I've talked to, cooking has been at the top of their list in terms of things that they haven't done so much of in past years, but this year it's been something that the family could do together, that individuals could do, of course, and enjoy. And it comes with the complaint that, well, we've been eating so much good food. Of course, that's added pounds. Whatever. Cooking may come and go a bit, but it's always there. And that means the cookbooks are always there. Cookbooks. Do you have some on your shelf? Lots of them. Do you use them? Well, some I've kept because I bought them, when I was on a trip somewhere and thought, oh, that sounded really neat, and I will find some great recipes in there. And some of them just sort of sit there because I don't use them. And, of course, now it's going to the internet, and you can find recipes by the tens of thousands. But it's still nice to have a cookbook, and I still have a favorite cookbook that looks like it's my favorite because the cover is practically falling off. Certain pages have a lot of different, food spills on them, but it's the one I go to for some favorite recipes or sometimes if I have a question. Well, I wondered if my cookbook was on the list of the top 10 cookbooks of all time. I wanted to share this list with you, and I can tell you right off the top of my thinking that my book is not on the list, but let's see if you agree with any of these. Baking from My Home to Yours by Dori Greenspan. Well, folks, I've never even heard of that one, but it does offer really homey recipes, according to the writer here. And that's one of the things that if we were looking for a new cookbook or perhaps choosing a gift for somebody, you want recipes in there that are really going to be something that the family, that the individual will actually eat and probably doesn't include too many ingredients that are a little strange or difficult to get. Okay, the second one I have at least heard of, the New York Times cookbook by Craig Claiborne. And of course, if you've been around the cooking world for a while, Craig Claiborne is one of the names that is kind of right up there with the all-time cooks and chefs and so on. It was actually published in 1961. So, compared to other cookbooks, that's not so very old. But it sort of set the standard for American cookbooks, and it has been revised a number of times. The really favorite cookbooks, the ones that stay on the market, are ones that have been revised from time to time. Okay, here's another one that's not been on my list, The Art of Simple Food by Alice Waters. It celebrates good cooking using the best in-season ingredients. And Alice Waters is sort of known for the organic, use your own food, use the local food kind of thing. It has more than 200 recipes for organic poultry and meat, simple desserts, and not a lot of fuss. Well, for everyday cooking, not a lot of fuss. It would be kind of at the top of the list. Okay, fourth on the list is one that I have not used often, but I do have it. And it was because it always is recommended if you want the best basic how-to cookbook and one that, gives you explanations and still has all the good kind of basic recipes in it. The Joy of Cooking by Irma Rombauer. And it is considered to be the definitive guide to American cooking. And it is a work of American history and one that's telling of regional distinctions in how Americans eat. It was one of the first books of home cooking written by a home cook as such. And so it took off immediately. And I think that being written by a home cook does make it different than those that are written by chefs. Sixth, Maida Hayter's Book of Great Desserts. And that's not one that's been on my shelf, but I know one of our great bakers in the area has says this is one of her favorites, and that's Janine Knopp. And, of course, she's made all kinds of desserts, and lots of people have enjoyed her desserts, and she said that's one on her shelf. Mastering the Art of French Cooking by Julia Child, probably one that almost everybody has heard of. And some people just think it is the greatest thing. And if you want to try some great, fairly simple country recipes, it is a good book in terms of instructions and pictures and that sort of thing. How about James Beard's American Cookery? Of course, by James Beard, and he's another one that sort of a name in being chefs and in cooking. He's called the father of American cuisine. It was originally published in 1972, and it says it's the illustrated encyclopedic volume with more than 1,500 of his favorite recipes. And next on the list is The Professional Chef by the Culinary Institute of America. It's now in its eighth edition, and it's considered the textbook for professional chefs in America. So if you want to step up your game a little bit and you want to be more than a good cook, maybe you want to take some tips from a professional. And next on the list, and it has to be a little bit newer one, is The Vegetarian Cooking for Everyone by Deborah Madison. So is your favorite cookbook, or do you have a favorite cookbook? Is it on the list? Well, as I said, mine is not. My favorite cookbook, my well-used, going-to-stay-in-my-kitchen cookbook, and it is in my kitchen, not somewhere else on a shelf. It's right there with all the other things. It's the Betty Crocker cookbook. And I have to tell you that I won that cookbook when I was a senior in high school through a Betty Crocker cookery contest. You didn't have to cook anything, but I answered some questions. I don't remember exactly, but that makes that book pretty old, but it has all of the basics, and I still go to it if sometimes I have a question or, of course, for some favorite kinds of recipes. So Betty Crocker is mine. I know that some other people would put Better Homes and Gardens on that list, again, because it has good basic information, instructions, answers questions, and that sort of thing. Well, cookbooks, there's a million of them out there. And we have all sources of recipes. Probably the favorites of some of you would be those church cookbooks or those put together by an organization. And they are great because not only do you get to find recipes that other people love and people you know, but you know the people who put them in there most often. So it's kind of fun to see who put this recipe in. And sometimes they have some additional comments. So those, I'm guessing, are some of the well-worn cookbooks. If you use a cookbook often, probably kind of at your fingertips list. And I do have several of those that I still hang on to. I have culled, so to speak, many of shelves of cookbooks, and I've gotten rid of a lot of those by looking through them and thinking, these have recipes that I'm probably never going to use, and if I wanted that kind of recipe, I can find it in my Betty Crocker cookbook or one of my church cookbooks. So I have not so many cookbooks, and I still now go to the internet often. One of the things that I do when I go to the internet is to check more than one source and kind of compare recipes. But you can take a look if you're going on the internet. Where does that recipe come from? Is it just somebody's blog? And maybe that's okay. Or is it like Taste of Home or Better Homes and Gardens? Or, you know, what's the source of that recipe? Well, cookbooks have been a way of communicating throughout time, and they did start back in the 15th and 16th centuries. So having a written down recipe is not new, but hopefully it can be useful to you and bring some joy to you if you're at all into cooking. And if you are, hey, There's a good season coming up for that. So until next time, here's a thought. No one is born a good cook. One learns by doing.